Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and I totally have a G-spot. Who are you?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a blogger, and I often joke that I have a prehensile G-spot, because if a toy can't find it, my G-spot will find the toy.
You can run, but you can't hide. That's terrifying, and I want that to be a horror movie, because I would totally watch that.
Teeth 2, the prehensile G-spot.
And then, like, the climax of the movie is you just, like, squirting so much that you flood the town. This is terrifying. I adore it, and it needs to be made.
I will have nightmares for weeks.
Well, I feel like a lot of people have nightmares about the G-spot, or else it wouldn't be so heavily contested in science.
Why?
You know,
like,
there's a lot of misogyny in the scientific community, and that's not cool. I'm curious to get your take on, like, why do people think the G-spot doesn't exist, and, like, does it exist in everyone who has a vagina? Big questions to start the show.
Okay, so... Yes, the G-spot exists in everyone, but no, it doesn't feel good in everyone.
Like, exactly.
It's not a secret magic button any more than the clit is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just an area of tissue in the body. There is some contest between if it is the urethral sponge, which is spongy tissue that surrounds the urethra that's made up of the same stuff that a prostate is made out of, mm-hmm. or if you're stimulating the legs of the internal clit,
mm-hmm.
in which case I've seen people talking about, like, oh, it's the internal clit, so it's not a G-spot.
It's still a spot, and it's, like, fairly consistent among people who have vaginas that they enjoy having that area touched. So, like, I think we can safely call it a spot, even if doctors are like, I don't know.
Yeah, and, like, it's not... I feel like we don't need, like, biological evidence that there is a part in a lot of people's bodies that feels good. Maybe touch it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it gets, like, I think it should really just be classified more as, like, an erogenous zone.
Yeah.
Like, the way someone's base of some people's neck feels really good, or behind their ear, or the inside of their elbow, or, mm-hmm. you know, the inside of their wrist, whatever. There are a lot of really sensitive areas on a lot of people's bodies, and that just happens to be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because there's so much mystery around it, and it's a thing that people with vaginas also don't always know about, that the media kind of grabbed it and was like, let's make it the be-all, end-all of female sexuality and gratification, and if you can find this and figure it out, God, vaginas will just love you.
Yeah, I'm reading these books right now about female sexuality for a magazine assignment, and, like, they all use the phrase female sexuality, I should say, but what they're really talking about is the sexuality of people with vaginas, who are, of course, not always female.
Not every vagina has a woman, and not every woman has a vagina.
Exactly. But so... It seems like over time and over history, men in particular have, like, constantly looked for kind of the magic button, like you said, or, like, some kind of shortcut to definitely giving vagina-having folks orgasms and pleasure and whatnot. And it's really not ever as simple as, like, touch this spot. Like, it's so much more complex than that, and that's true for people with penises, too, I think, is it's so much about, like, your mental and psychological situation, it's about your particular preferences in how you like which spots to be touched, and also which spots are more sensitive for you or less sensitive, and it's, as always, just, like, an interconnected, complicated system, and you have to talk to your particular person about what they like. So, how did you discover your G-spot? Because my understanding of this is that we have a pretty different G-spot origin story.
Yeah, because for me, it was never, like, I never got that cultural language around the G-spot that had me, like, there is this magical part of my body that I don't know about. I must go on a quest to discover it. Like, I never had that moment, and I never had the, like, look at all this squirting and porn. I must learn how to do that. We'll get to that story in a second. But for me, masturbation was not a thing that, like, came naturally, that I was like, oh, that's a thing I should do. Sex has always been more psychological for me, and I've learned over the years that that's very much a kink thing. But I was always just more interested in, like, fantasizing and thinking about power exchange and things like that. And then my high school girlfriend was like, you know, you should, like, jerk off. And I was like, huh, that's an option. Well, okay. And then for me, I figured, because this is the way culture talks about sex, that sex is putting things in holes. So I had a hole. Supposedly, I was supposed to put things in it. So I would, like, finger myself, which was not all that exciting, unless I curved my hand in a certain way, and I was like, oh, hey, that feels good. So I really got acquainted with my G-spot before I even got acquainted with my clit, because it was very much a, like, this is how I'm supposed to masturbate, because I was familiar with the concept. So I just did that and tried to figure out a way to make it feel good. So G-spotting has always been a really, like, central part of my sexuality. But you said your experience was very different, right?
Yeah, I had, like, unsuccessful attempts for years to, like, incorporate penetration to my masturbation in any pleasurable way. I would always be like, I don't like this. I guess I won't enjoy sex with dudes, which is hilarious.
Right, because that's all sex with dudes is.
Right, well, like, I really did kind of have this belief that, like, cis dudes would focus way too much on intercourse and that that would be expected of me. Which isn't entirely untrue. Like, there are definitely dudes out there like that, but I've been lucky enough to be partnered with a lot of dudes who are less penetration-focused, which is nice. But I just, I really thought that because I didn't feel any pleasure from penetration for the first few years that I was exploring my body, that, you know, that kind of sex would never be enjoyable to me. Joke's on younger me, because that's not true. I was trying to remember, like, if there was a moment when I suddenly went, oh my god, G-spot feelings, but I don't actually remember that happening, and I can't even remember if it was, like, with a partner or by myself. I imagine it would have been by myself, because, like, even still today, I need to be super, super relaxed for G-spot stimulation to feel good, because if I'm tense at all, I just have that feeling that they talk about that's, like, the need to pee feeling, and it's just, like, an uncomfortable, borderline painful feeling. Whereas if I'm, like, really, really relaxed, like, especially if I've, like, just had an orgasm, so I'm, like, totally chilled out, that's when it starts to feel good. And definitely, for me, it only feels good when paired with clit stimulation, usually, which I wish more people would have told me. Like, a lot of people do say that, but a lot of people also don't mention that when they write or talk about the G-spot. And I feel like that's super important, is to acknowledge that the clit remains, like, the main sexual organ for most people with vaginas. And if you find that something doesn't feel good by itself, you might want to add clit stim or some other thing that you know reliably feels good for you. Because for me, that's how I've been able to train myself into liking a lot of things that previously didn't feel that great for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need clit stim when I'm doing G-spot stuff, but it's definitely helpful. And it can help, like, make it easier to get off that way. Because a lot of times, G-spot orgasms are the kind of orgasms that, like, I need to have beyond, if that makes sense. Like, you get to a point where you're jerking off and you're like, well, I need to get off. Like, I'm going to be horribly uncomfortable if I don't. Versus just something you, like, want to do. I remember once playing with my sir and being like, ah, something just doesn't feel right. I don't know. It's kind of off. And I was like, I think I need to squirt. I think that's, like, what's going on, which I hate that word. Ugh. But there's a better word. Yeah, I don't like the word squirting. That. Yeah, it really bothers me.
What would you rather call it?
I usually just call it coming. But, like, people don't always get that. Like, don't always get the connection, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, that's reasonable, I think. But yeah, also, no, like,
that totally makes sense. Yeah. But there isn't another better word. But I don't know, I just, I hate that word.
That's interesting, because I always use squirting as, like, my gender-neutral word for that. Because, like, I wrote this, like, big magazine feature a couple years ago about, quote, female ejaculation. And I tried to use the word squirting, like, as often as possible in that article instead of that, even though, like, the audience of the magazine probably hadn't heard it referred to as squirting, except maybe in porn, because they were skewing a bit older. But I just, like... the fact that it's called female ejaculation so often really pisses me off, because gender stuff, but also because, like, why do we need to differentiate so much between, quote, male and, quote, female ejaculation? Yeah. Like, they're both ejaculation.
They're mostly prostatic the same stuff. Fluid.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's this weird line that we've drawn that we totally do not need to have drawn. Like, we don't say male orgasms and female orgasms necessarily, because they're all orgasms and they're all physiologically quite similar. That is a distinction that makes me mad.
Yeah, I mean, I hate female ejaculation more because gender things, and I don't think squirting is entirely a gender thing that I don't like it. It's just, like, gross word to me. Like, it feels like moist. Like, it's just not...
It reminds me of...
Not to yuck your yum if that's a really hot word for you, or if moist is a really hot word for you. But yeah. For me, they just, feel icky in my body.
It reminds me of that ex-boyfriend of mine who, like, often when he was about to come, he would say to me, I'm gonna spurt. And, you know, when you can tell that there's a particular word or phrase that someone finds really hot and, like, you want to get into it for them and, like, you want to say it so that they can enjoy that. But I was just like, I don't think I can bring myself to say, like, please spurt in me. Like,
spurt for me.
No, God, like, and then it makes me feel bad because I think about my fuck buddy who, like, steadfastly refuses to call me a princess, even though it's one of the things that, like, I really enjoy. He just, like, has an ick factor thing about that word, so fine. Anyway.
Yeah. But anyway. back to ejaculatory orgasms.
There you go.
Because that's nice. The sexier way to say it. It gets to a point where, so, the urethral sponge I was talking about fills with fluid, and it gets to a point where that's, like, such a frequent part of my sexuality, like, it's a thing that happens a lot for me, that sometimes it'll get to a point where I can, like, I wonder if it's similar to what people with penises refer to as, like, blue balls. Like, I can feel it built up, and I'm like, I need to get that out of my body. Like, it needs to... So I think that's a really interesting thing that kind of happens with that. And that's... Those are the times where I'm like, okay, I'll need, like, really direct G-spot stimulation, and then can mix it with clitoral stuff to eventually get off. But yeah, so the G-spot is very central to my sexuality for the most part, and I know it isn't for you.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I'm reading Naomi Wolf's book, Vagina, which has some physiological stuff about the vagina that I had not read anywhere else before. And one of the things she talks about that she discovered, I don't know how true this is or how verified this is, but she says that the erogenous zones inside the vagina are linked to the pelvic nerve as opposed to the clitoris, which is linked to the pudendal nerve. I'm not sure if I'm totally mispronouncing that word.
I think that's right.
But the idea the idea is that she says that the pelvic nerve, which is the vaginal one, has a different link to the brain and can create like a deeper emotional feeling, and also I think she says like a greater release of dopamine, which if true would explain why lots of people with vaginas report that orgasms involving internal stimulation feel more intense and more full body and can provoke more of an emotional response. I found that really interesting.
Yeah, that's super fascinating, because that's definitely been my experience, where for the most part clitoral focused ones are like very focused and just like more like wham bam thank you ma'am kind of thing.
Yeah, and she argues too that like because of the emotional component, if you are prone to like emotionally attaching to partners as a result of sex, which many of us are, the vaginal orgasms or orgasms involving vaginal stimulation are more likely to cause that. And certainly in my experience, if someone, particularly if they're like fingering my A spot, which the A spot's a whole other conversation, if they're doing that really well and that's how I come, I find that I do feel very like, the word that comes to mind is indebted. Like, I feel like I'm indebted to them in an emotional way where I just like, I want to like heap them with love and compliments and service. And like, I don't really so much feel that about clitoral orgasms. And I find that really interesting.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know that I've super noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious if I, like, pay attention to that in the future, if that is a thing I would notice. Because yeah. All of the other stuff I experience really well. But for me, I also don't experience bonding all that much through sex. Like,
okay, because I do.
Yeah, that's just not one of my primary, like, bonding things. Meanwhile, yeah. Someone gives me a really good hug or something, and I'm like, we should be best friends. Like, hi. So, like, touch very much is, but sex just is not. I don't know why, but.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's related to, I don't know if this is still true, but I remember you telling me a while ago that, like, the orgasms mm-hmm. you have with partners are often, like, not as intense as the ones you have by yourself, especially if there's, like, not toys involved.
Yeah, that's super true.
Yeah. Like, whereas with me, like, I feel like I only, like, have that bonding experience usually if I have, like, a pretty intense orgasm with someone, which makes sense because of, like, all the biochemical, like, neurotransmitters being released. But
mm-hmm.
I find that if I don't come with someone, I'm less bonded to them. And part of it is just an annoyance of, like, wow, you didn't even try to make me come. Okay. But I think part of it is also, like, the neuro stuff that's going on there.
True, yeah, I do definitely lean more towards, like, doing things to my partners than having things done to me, so.
Right, which, like, for me induces a different type of bonding feeling, but I find I'm definitely, like, more fulfilled by doing things for partners if they've previously made me come, so we've made that kind of bonding connection. And I'm only realizing this now as I'm saying this out loud. But, like, all the people who I've been super, super into blowing, they had made me come before I got super into blowing them. Interesting. Discoveries live on the podcast. So, you asked me about my G-spot, and I totally did not answer that question. So, yeah, I like G-spot stimulation sometimes. Like I said, I have to be super relaxed, and that means it's not something I often do with partners because, like I've talked about a zillion times on the show before, I get really anxious in a lot of partner sex situations. So more often I go for the things that are like super reliably going to get me off because I don't want to be there worrying about how long it's going to take me. And actually I was having sex with my fuck buddy a couple months ago, and I had brought a dildo with me that's specifically a G-spot dildo, and I handed it to him. I was like, yeah, this is for my G-spot. And he said to me, he's been fucking me for like a year and a half-ish, and he said to me, I don't actually know if I know where the G-spot is in your specific vagina, because I literally never tell him to go for my G-spot. He knows that to get me off, he has to go much deeper to the A-spot, which is the anterior fornix. So for me, the G-spot, like, can be pleasurable if I, like, relax into it and take my time and warm up properly, whereas I find the A-spot pretty much is, like, feels great from the get-go and, like, very reliably makes me come. But I do enjoy G-spot stuff from time to time. I think my favorite G-spot toy, if we want to get into talking yes. about toys, which of course we do
because we're always the Dillworks. Right.
Yeah, I think my fave is the Enjoy 11.
Yeah.
Because, I know we share some feelings about the 11, but I just find, like, because it's so thick and, like, has that big defined head on it, it's just, like, I can't miss my G-spot. And I think also it doesn't have too intense of a curve, so for me it's nice because it's a bit of a subtler sensation, and that sounds absurd to say that, like, a 2-inch wide stainless steel 11 inches long dildo is subtle in any way, but actually, like, compared to something more curved like the Pure Wand, I do find that it is, like, a subtler sensation that doesn't make me like feel uncomfortable or in pain or anything like that.
I also find
the Vixkin Mustang, oh my god,
yeah, so good. So I have a lot of thoughts about the 11, though, especially mm-hmm. versus the Pure Wand, because I find I wouldn't use the word subtler in my body. I would just say that it's more diffuse. Like, there's a yes. lot of other sensation happening mm-hmm. in addition to the G-spot sensation, so it allows, like, the arousal to really build really well for me. And my mm-hmm. 11 is what I go to when I have that feeling like I need to actually squirt yeah. or ejaculate, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's the one I always go to because I know without fail I always can with the 11.
Yeah.
And then, but the Pure Wand, like, also same deal, can without fail every time, but it's so focused, it feels like mechanical to me.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's very direct.
It feels like pushing a pressure point and making mm-hmm. an orgasm happen, which, like, sure, I can do that. Like, come in 10 seconds, move it exactly this way. Great. Mm-hmm. But, like, there's no building arousal and there's no other sensation that, like, kind of rolls into it. And you get, like, that kind of tidal wave or whatever cheesy erotica euphemism you want to use that you do with the 11, mm-hmm. in my experience.
Yeah, I find similarly, like, the Pure Wand for me usually feels too focused. Like, I have to be super, super in the mood for that exact type of stimulation to like that toy. But I'm finding when I'm kind of in the mood for G-spot stimulation but don't want to go quite as intense as the Pure Wand, I really like the Knob Essence Seduction, which has a similar-ish curve on the bigger end of it. But I think because it's thicker, it covers a slightly broader area of my G-spot and also kind of fills me up. So I have those, like, good girth feelings in addition to good G-spot feelings. I find with the Seduction, like, it's a bit bonkers. I can come in, like, 90 seconds if I'm also using a clit vibe with the Seduction, which is, like, very uncommon for me. Sometimes to the point where, like, I haven't even had time for my vag to get, like, wet. Like, I come so fast and my body's just like, wait, we weren't even ready. Like, it's very, very good. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I really like, I found the Seduction was a little thin for me.
Okay, here I am being like, it's so thick, it really fills me up.
I mean, I think I only used it like once too, so mm-hmm. I may not know what I'm talking about, but I like the Fling a lot, just because yeah. I found that it's, the Seduction has more of a curve that is all one length all the way through, or one mm-hmm. Width all the way through.
Yeah.
It's got, like, this kind of S-curve, and it's all, for the most part, the same girth, whereas mm-hmm. the Fling has this really bulbous head and then this really thin neck. So for me, that works similarly to the Pure Wand in that all of the pressure is on the G-spot and, like, not at the vaginal opening at all, so mm-hmm. it allows you to really focus on G-spot stimulation. At the same time, though, it's not as heavy or as sharply curved as the Pure Wand, so it still gives me a little more time to have more build-up and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. There's also a Long Fling, which, like, no one carries except the Knob Essence store itself, but it just gives it a longer neck, And I want it so bad because the neck on the regular fling is just so short. And I mean, you really only need 1 to 3 inches inside the vagina to get to the G-spot.
Yeah.
So I don't need more length internally, but like externally, I want more room so that like, because with this one, I feel like my hand is all up in my bits and I'm like kind of curled over.
Yeah.
And I just want a handle.
Yeah, I know. I always get worried with the fling that I'm going to come so hard that I break it in half. Because, like,
because it's the neck so of it is so
thin.
Yeah. But it's also the other really, really cool thing about the fling, if none of y'all have ever seen it, is it has finger holes.
It's so fucking good.
It's so good.
I haven't thought about my fling in so long, and now I'm going to have to break it out today. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I got to find
it. It's really super very good.
I think one of the interesting things is most of the toys we've talked about so far for the G-spot are all hard materials.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do like the Mustang, which is dual-density silicone, and I think that the reason that one works so well for me is because it has a really defined coronal ridge, so it kind of just, like, rubs over the G-spot without necessarily, like, pounding hard into it, like something like the Pure One does. And I also really like, I know we've talked about the Vixkin Maverick, which is a similar deal, just girthier.
Oh, I'm going to talk all about that in a second. Don't you worry.
I like the Vixen Leo. I like the big Tantus Uncut, which we've also talked about.
Yes. Oh, my God.
We are fans of the Uncut.
So I sell the Mustang all the damn time, especially to people who I'm like, you know, are you looking for a deal? Like, people who are buying a strap-on setup, and I'm like, all right, are you looking for something that's going to work for a wide range of people? Because the Mustang will. It's a pretty accessible size for the majority of people, but if it's smaller than someone's used to, it does some really targeted G-spotting or prostate play, which is going to feel good, even if it's not as girthy as they would have liked, rather than getting something girthier that other people may not be able to handle.
Right.
So it's kind of, like, pretty widely recognized as a really good toy. A lot of holes like it.
Oof, it's so good.
But when I'm describing G-spot stuff, I think the difference between a hard material toy and a soft material toy, when you're playing with the... So, step away from the G-spot entirely for a second. Think about how you like to get a back rub. Like, how you would massage someone's shoulders. And that kind of pressure tends to be what a lot of G-spots like. And people like to treat them very gently and delicately because it's the fragile flower of the vagina. It's not like it was made to push babies out or anything. It can't handle things. So, like, they don't think about how much pressure it likes. And as soon as I compare something like that and then hand someone a Pure Wand, they're like, oh, this would be a good back massager. Oh, okay. Yeah. So I think that's why hard materials are really great, because they can actually get in there and give a lot of pressure. Comparatively, though, a soft material toy, like a silicone, has a lot more drag. So as opposed to having pressure and weight and a really slippery surface, these are going to tug against the surface of the G-spot without necessarily getting in there and doing, like, the deep massage kind of feeling. So it's a slightly different G-spot sensation, and for me, I find it's less reliable to give me an intense, completely G-spot focused orgasm. I get more, like, blended, like I almost always need clitoral stim when I'm using a soft material toy. But it gives me more build-up before the orgasm, and usually more complex orgasms, as if I'm reviewing them like a fine wine.
Yeah. They have undertones and aftertastes.
There's depth here. There's just a lot more going on. I love the Mustang, but I've kind of moved away from more slender toys like the Mustang. Usually the thinnest toy I'll play with is, like, my Uncut, which is 1.75 in diameter versus the 1.5 of the Mustang. But my all-time favorite dill for a very long time now is my Maverick, which is 2 inches in diameter, and is just really, the really, like, broad, defined head is kind of like a plow against my G-spot. Like, it just hits the whole thing on the way out every time.
Yeah.
And it's got, like, this really pronounced coronal ridge and, like, broad, flat, like, swooping head that just kind of scoops up my whole G-spot every time I thrust with it, which is awesome.
I also really like the Jopin Comet wand, but the non-vibrating version has sadly been discontinued.
Yeah, and, like, you can use the vibrating version with the motor off, but it's not glass, and it doesn't feel as fancy to me. It just feels, like, cheap.
Yeah, there was a period of time where Pink Cherry had the discontinued Comet wands in all 3 colors for, like, a really cheap price because it was discontinued, and I seriously considered, like, buying a bunch of them and giving them as gifts to friends because I really do think it's, like, one of the best G-Spot toys out there. But now I sadly did not do that, and it is no more. Very tragic.
Yeah. I wrote, actually, a thing, because the last thing the world needs is more Pure Wand reviews, but I wrote a comparison of the Pure Wand and the Comet Wand, and kind of talked about how the Pure Wand has a lot of weight, but the Comet Wand has the drag that silicone can give you, while still having the pressure that glass, which I think was a really brilliant combination.
Oh, it's so smart. Bravo, bravo.
Yeah, yeah.
So, how do you like your G-spot touch? Like, if you're, like, bossing a partner around and trying to teach them how to do stuff to your G-spot, what do you say?
Oh, I'm sorry, is what I start with. I hope you skipped arm day this week, because this is your bicep workout.
Did you take your protein powder?
Fuck that, you need pre-workout before that. I tend to, if we're talking, like, especially fingering with toys, it's a little less of this, but hard and fast.
Yep.
Forever. So, one arm's gonna be jacked and you're gonna look real funny if we're partners, but whatever. I don't need a lot of precision. Like, once you find kind of the right area, hard and fast is really all I need. With toys, I tend to also really like the same idea. Not as fast, just because toys tend to be bigger than, you know, someone's 2 or 3 fingers. Mm-hmm. So I get more sensation, so we don't have to do, like, as hard and fast speed to make up for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just going to keep saying hard and fast over and over and over.
Sometimes you gotta say it a few times for it to really sink in.
No, I don't think you understand.
Yeah. Sometimes I also like to use the 1 to 10 scale for things other than spanking, even though I mostly use it for spanking. So it gives people an idea. So if I'm like, you're giving me pressure on my G-spot that's, like, at a 5 right now, and I want to be at, like, a 9, I think that that helps people understand better.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, too. Yeah, I find one of the things that's, like, we talked about this a little bit in the Cunnilingus episode, where it's easy to get, like, insecure and, like, oh, I'm taking too long, blah, 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 whatever. I feel that way a lot when people are fingering me, because, like, not only is it, like, oh, are you getting bored? Is this not fun for you? Because I'm not doing things to your bits. Like, is this okay? Mm-hmm. But, like, I've fingered people, and I've fingered myself, and genuinely, your arm might start to fall off. like, not only am I, like, making you do a not making you, but, like, you're doing a thing to me for a really long time that, like, while not getting off yourself, but you're also genuinely going through kind of an ordeal. Like, I was like, do you need an arm massage? Are you okay? Are you tired? I'm sorry. Yeah. I can get an ice pack. Like, some Vicks VapoRub. I don't know.
Arnica cream.
Like, I just, so that for me is, it's hard, I have a hard time, like, being, like, allowing and receiving all of that. Because yeah. I'm just, like, I'm genuinely like, bro, I'm sorry. Which is, like, I tend to, like, not prioritize muscles at, like, the top of my things I'm attracted to list. However, seeing someone with really good arm muscles, I'm like, I know what you can do with those. Conveniently.
I had this conversation with my fuck buddy one time about this, because like you said, sometimes I get really anxiety ridden about being finger banged, especially really intensely or for a really long time or both. And he said to me if he was going to teach a class on finger banging, which, first of all, anyone who starts a sentence that way has my heart, but he said that he would tell people, particularly cis guys who like might not know this, that like you need to finger someone really hard and fast usually, and when you think that you can't go any farther, or when you think that you need to stop, you actually can push your body a little bit farther usually. It's sort of like when you're going for a jog, and you're like, oh, I'm so tired, I have to stop. But then if you actually push through it, sometimes you get kind of a second wind. And he said that part of what he finds hot about finger banging is the idea of, like, pushing his body past the bounds of where it usually can go and sort of seeing what he's capable of. And as he was describing this to me, I could, like, feel myself getting turned on. I was like, oof, yes, good.
I have some feelings about that.
Teach all the other men. Fuck That and Fuck Yeah is our weekly segment where we tell you something we hate and something we love. Hey, Bex, what's your Fuck That this week?
My Fuck That kind of goes back to how we were talking about how people think the G-spot is, like, a magic button. Mm-hmm. And it's how sex toys everywhere like to call themselves G-spot toys. When there is no conceivable way that they would go anywhere near anyone's G-spot.
It is inconceivable. You keep saying that word, G-spot.
I don't think you know what you think it means. It just... I don't understand. Like, the one I'm thinking of specifically is that Jimmy Jane bowling pin. What is it, the Form 4? It is perfectly straight. Like...
There's Don't lie to me, Jimmy Jane.
And they're like, it's flexible and it could hit your G-spot. And I'm like, first of all, nothing flexible can put any pressure on a G-spot because flexible. And second of all, it's not flexible. It's a straight line.
I know.
I don't understand. I don't know why. Well, I know why. It's because they say G-spot and they think it'll make people buy it, and it fucking does. Mm-hmm. And then there are people that are like, I can't find my G-spot, and it's like, because you're using the wrong goddamn tool.
I actually like that toy, but it's definitely not a G-spot toy. Like, they straight up lied.
No. A rep also once told me it was a good butt toy.
And no! I was like,
in what earth?
Absolutely do not put that in your butt.
There's no flared base, and it's just got this fat, blunt tip. Anyone who could actually take that tip in their ass can take the whole thing in their ass, and it will be gone forever. I don't... Hey, Kate, what's your fuck that? I disapprove of everything about this.
My fuck that is inconvenient squirting.
Oh my god, I know, right?
Yeah, like, okay, I'm a fairly recent addition to the Squirters Club. I think it's probably been about a year-ish since the first time I squirted. I don't do it very often because, again, like, I don't do G-spot stim on myself very often, but sometimes I do, and there are certain toys that just, like, reliably will induce squirting for me. So, like, one of them is the Knob Essence Seduction that I was talking about before. Like, pretty much if that goes in me, I'm gonna squirt pretty soon. And I have a Liberator throw, which, by the way, we haven't mentioned the throw yet, and it's a great thing to have if you are exploring G-spot stuff and squirting stuff, because even if you don't squirt, sometimes that feeling of, like, gonna pee, gonna squirt can stop you from relaxing into pleasure, so it's really good to, like, lay down something that can help you just chill about that, even if nothing actually ends up coming out. So the throw is, like, a waterproof, velvety blanket that you can lay down, and it'll stop you from fucking up your bed. But I'm lazy, well, and my throw people. Is... Yeah, true, yeah. My throw is usually kept across the room from my bed, which is a terrible decision on my part, and I should really start keeping it closer. I don't know why I do that. But so often I'm, like, lying in bed jerking off, and I'm like, I feel like I'm gonna squirt, but also, like, I could probably hold it back. It's fine. And, like, the throw is so far away, and I don't want to get up when I'm, like, naked from the waist down and there's a dildo inside me, you know. So sometimes it's like 2 in the morning and I squirt all over my sheets by accident, and then I have to go launder my sheets and I get super, super grumpy about it. And I should just fucking know better at this point.
Yeah, I remember, like, I squirted before. Again, I never had that, like, super quest to find it. It was just a thing my body did. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting into my sex geekiness and finding so many people being like, but, like, how do I squirt? And me being like, but, like, how do I stop?
Yeah. For me, stopping is as simple as not doing G-spot stim, but... Like we were talking about, I find that, like, if I'm in the mood for G-spot stim, I am insatiable about that particular thing. Like, I am not going to be able to put down that toy and go do a different thing to get off, because my G-spot's going to be like, hey, what the fuck? Like, you were talking to me, and then you just walked away.
Which so, is just rude. I gotta follow like, through. Don't ghost on your G-spot, okay?
Have some manners, goddammit. What is your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is people who, like, know how to touch my G-spot, without a lot of direction, which just constantly amazes me more than anything else. I remember playing with my sir once, and, like, I kind of mentioned this earlier when I had this moment where I was like, oh, that's why I've been feeling weird for a while, because we had been playing a while. I was like, I need to squirt. That's what feels weird. And I got, like, we were actively playing, and I got that sentence out and, like, was reaching over and was like, I should grab my 11, which was in the bed, because, again, life. like, I was mid-sentence and literally, like, reaching over to be like, this is what will make that happen. And he was just like, oh, okay, and did a thing with his fingers, and I, like, squirted immediately, like, T-minus 10 seconds. Like, he was just like, oh, that's what I need to do? Okay, allow me to make that happen. And it was, like, flawless and perfect and no direction, and I was like, how did you fucking, like, I've only been able to make myself squirt with my fingers, like, twice, and literally no one else. And he was just like, oh, well, you know, you didn't say if you had just mentioned. And I called him a wizard, and I don't think he fully understood why that was a compliment. He was just like, I'm a wizard? Yes. Goddamn wizard.
I swear we only use the word wizard as a sexual compliment these days. It's hilarious.
And yet you have a picture of me as a wizard on your fucking phone.
It makes so much sense, though. But, like, every time someone makes me come in this way that's very surprising and miraculous to me, I always text you about it, and I'm like, is he secretly a wizard?
Yes. There's a wand joke in there, but I have too much pride to make it.
Yeah, no, we're above and beyond that.
What's your fuck yeah? I know it. I chose it.
Yeah, you told me to go with this one. My fuck yeah is my heart tattoo. So I have a heart. It's a red heart, and it's over kind of a spot that's like halfway between my clit and my belly button. And it's a spot that I have called my external G-spot for a long time. I don't really actually 100% know if that's for sure what it is. I'm not entirely sure what it is, scientifically speaking, but I know that when I press on it, and especially if I kind of like press it in circles or up and down, kind of like I would like my G-spot touched, that it induces feelings really similar to when my G-spot is touched, just obviously in a more like external and slightly indirect kind of way. And I noticed this was something I liked with an ex-partner, and sometimes I would come and then have a strong need to have pressure in this one spot, which is consistent with my G-spot. It usually likes to be touched after I come, because that's kind of when I'm like relaxed and receptive to that. So I got the heart tattoo there as like a visual indicator for partners of like where that spot is. And they usually get pretty delighted when I explain it to them. I'm like, just so you know, if you press this spot really hard in circles about 5 to 10 seconds after I come, I will probably make a lot more noise and like feel pretty good. And I think it does make partners feel like a goddamn wizard when they manage to pull that off successfully, because it's pretty cool.
That's super cool. And I just love that you like have the tattoo there to like label it.
Yeah.
For me, my external G-spot is not so much like a focused area that you can push on, but just the whole palm of the hand right on the mons is really good because A, holding down feelings, but also because you're taking, if while you're fingering someone, you're taking all of that G-spot tissue and pushing it right back down into your fingers and kind of sandwiching that tissue between your hands.
Yeah.
Which is just really rad.
Yes. Oof, bodies are so cool.
I know.
So, we have a question from a listener to answer this week.
And yay!
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to read it for you. This is an abridged version of the question she sent us. She said, "My knowledge of my own sexuality is pretty highly developed, but I have never had sex with anyone else than myself. I didn't lose my virginity at the same age as my other friends. I was shy and didn't know any people I would have wanted to have sex with. In my late teens and now my early 20s, my mind has obviously changed and I feel like I am ready for partnered sex, but I haven't met anyone I want to have sex with. Should I just do it casually or wait longer for someone I like?" Now, you said to me, Bex, that you think we're going to have very different opinions about this, and I don't know if that's actually true.
Interesting. So I'm basing that thought on kind of what we were talking about earlier, how for you, sex is a really emotionally bonding thing, and for me it's not. And I think the biggest thing that I would tell this person to do is kind of identify where they think they'll fall on that spectrum. Maybe look at how they relate to other people, if they do other sex things with people, how they felt after that, and try and imagine how 10, 20 years from now, what do you want to look back on? Because this is going to be a memorable thing, right? Culturally, we play up this idea of virginity, which I think is honestly kind of ridiculous, and this whole myth of virginity and that sort of thing, and we can really get into that. But regardless of what you believe about virginity, this is going to be a thing you remember, right? It's going to be a thing you look back on culturally. We've created that. So think about how do you want to look back on it? You know, do you want this to be a part of a beautiful relationship, something you shared with someone you really loved? Or do you want it to be that fun, cool thing you did one night with someone?
Right.
Which of those feels more fun and comfortable for you? For me personally, I don't need to, like, feel super emotionally connected with someone for sex to be a really fun thing for us to, like, bond with and play with. So for me, I would be totally comfortable hooking up with someone that is not a part of a relationship later on, and having that be, like, my first, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, you are not me. So look at kind of how those things feel to you. The only thing I would say that you definitely want to do is just make sure it's someone you're comfortable with.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be someone you're close with or someone you plan on remaining close with, mm-hmm. but it's gonna be weird. First times are weird. First times with new yeah. people are weird, and first times in general are weird. And yep. fuck, sex is weird and awkward. Just in general.
Yeah.
So, like, it's gotta be someone you're comfortable with and comfortable saying, you know, hey, move a little to the left. Hey, we need more lube. Hey, this maybe not this way right now. Yes. You need to be able to be comfortable, like, advocating for yourself and not feel weird when something awkward happens, because it will, I promise.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be amazing and mind-blowing. It's just going to be a thing. And then the yeah. more you do it, you will have times that are amazing and mind-blowing, but don't go into this with really high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Go into it just like, this is a new experience, and we'll see how it goes. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I knew our answers were going to be similar. 'Cause here's the thing. I, quote, lost my virginity, which is a weird phrase, and our listener who wrote this question wrote it in quotes, rightfully so, because it's kind of a strange phrase. I usually like to say nowadays, I made my sexual debut.
I like that one.
Yeah, I made my sexual debut with a friend who would go on to be a friend with benefits for like a year and a half afterward. And at the time that we first had sex, we had been friends for like a few months, and I really trusted her and I liked her, but I didn't like her romantically. I found her, you know, entertaining and fun to be around, and I felt really safe around her, and I felt that I could truly be myself around her. So those things were important to me for reasons of just like comfort and trust and being able to relax. But I did not need there to be like a romantic attraction there or a romantic relationship or commitment at all. I think that for me, I always tell people when friends have asked me this question in the past is like, you really need to trust and like the person. But it doesn't have to be this like storybook, fairy tale, romantic liking. I think that that is really selling yourself short and cutting off options if you view that as the only type of sex that you want to have. Like, of course, some people really need that romantic connection in order to feel comfortable having sex, and that's fine. But if you are not particularly feeling pulled toward that, you don't need to pursue that kind of relationship. Just in order to, like, fulfill a cultural expectation. And I also think sometimes we build these things up so much in our minds that sometimes it can be good to actually just, like, kind of buck up and do it. And if you are not attached to the idea of it being a perfect first experience, you could just, like, do the, like, casual Tinder first-time bang thing. I don't think that that would have worked for me because I wouldn't have felt relaxed and comfortable enough, but I could see that working for some people, because sometimes you kind of just need to get the first bang out of the way, and then you have sort of the confidence to move forward with your sex life and try other things. So yeah, like Bex was saying, I think you really need to think about, like, what does this experience mean to you? Like, what meaning do you want your first time having sex to have for you? And, like, what kind of memory do you want it to be? Because it really doesn't need to be this, like, cinematic, romantic thing that we're told that it needs to be, unless that's what you want. So thank you so much for sending in that question. If you want to send us in a question for us to maybe answer on the show, our email address is, as always, thedildorks@gmail.com, and we would love to answer more
Do
questions
it.
On the show.
It makes me smile.
Yeah. I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net, and you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff at, Bex?
I'm Bex. I'm at Bex Talk Sex on Twitter and Instagram, and at BexTalkSex.com is where you're going to find all my writing. Together we're the Dildorks. We're at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram, and at thedildorks.com. You can also search the Dildorks in your favorite podcast manager. And you can find us at patreon.com/thedildorks to support us. We launched it last week, and we're already almost halfway to our first goal, which I'm super excited about.
Yay, thank you.
When we hit that goal, we're going to have more swag available. Right now, we only have stickers, and the only way to get them is through the Patreon. So some of our Patreons that pledged this week, mm-hmm. we have Andrew Gerza, who runs the Disability After Dark podcast, who's amazing. Piff from heyepifera.com. My friend Stella, who is actually going to be on the show in the future. We just recorded a podcast with them, and it's going to be great. and we were also supported by Jen, Andrew, and Mandy. So thanks, everyone. We're super excited to have you on board. Those of you that pledged at the sticker level are going to be getting your stickers in the mail soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you also to Protodome for letting us use his song I Want You in My Bedroom as our theme song, and to Amy Gardner at Starboots_ on Twitter for doing the beautiful art that is on those stickers and also all over all of our branding everywhere.
It's great, so good. And I love it.
And thank you to you for listening to our show. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye. Nice. Nailed it.
Perfect.
10 out of 10. Except, no, probably like 7.8 out of 10.
Yeah. There were some weird mouth things that happened in the middle there.
Doing a podcast has made me so aware of all the weird things my mouth does. I, like, never noticed before. Who are you gonna call? The Dildorks.
I don't know. Why? What emergency do you call us for? When you run out of lube? When you can't make a good decision on a dick? Like,
a bad blowjob dick enters your life?
Someone takes off their pants and you're like, oh god, what am I gonna... I gotta call the Dildorks in on this one. Did we want to do a third take?
Sure, we can.
Just in case.
Let's wait until your pipes calm down.
Yeah. It seems like... Oh, no. I think they're good.
Okay.
All right, we don't need to do a third take.
Pipe down. That's the best joke I've ever made, and no one will ever appreciate it.